In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Last week, we entered the season of Lent, a season of repentance as we walk with Jesus on his way to the cross. Ash Wednesday was marked with a stark reminder of our sinfulness and just where that leads us. As we received ashes in the sign of the cross on our foreheads, we heard, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." This quote from Genesis 3 reminds us that because of sin, death has entered the world, and we will eventually all die. But the cross also reminds us that we have forgiveness of our sins. There is also life and salvation there. Therefore, it's fitting that this year's Lenten season will be based around confession and absolution in Luther's Small Catechism. With this in mind, our readings today made me wonder, what makes us so bold that we Christians can begin each divine service by confessing our sins before the Almighty God who made heaven and earth? Why would a Christian use private confession and absolution? What made the sinful woman of the city, in our second lesson, bring an alabaster flask of ointment to anoint Jesus as she wept at his feet, drying them with her own hair and kissing him repeatedly? Now, before answering those questions, we need to look and see what it's like when we don't confess our sins. John tells us in our first lesson, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What does it mean to deceive ourselves? It would be as if God said to us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin are death. But we brazenly respond, I'm perfectly righteous on my own. I never sin. But that guy over there, let me tell you about his sins. In this situation, we become like the Pharisee in our second lesson, passing judgment on Jesus and the sinful woman, not acknowledging our own sins. It's easy to see the sins of others, to point them out, so that we can make ourselves out to be less of a sinner. When we point out everyone else's sins and don't acknowledge our own, we not only lie to ourselves, but we say to God, you are a liar. This way leads to death. And therefore, we use the ashes and the sign of the cross on Ash Wednesday to remind us of our sins and the consequences of them. Don't fool yourselves. Sin is a serious issue. It can't be ignored. As we see in the Bible, sin not only has spiritual consequences, but it also has physical consequences. In our psalm, David gives us a vivid picture of what it's like when we don't confess our sins to God. He says, for when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the sun. Sin makes us feel guilty. It gives us anxiety. We may feel shame or grief or despair because of it. The devil, the world, and the old Adam in us don't want us to confess our sins. They want us to wallow in our misery, spiraling deeper and deeper into sin. But we have a loving God who calls us to turn from our sinful ways and return to Him in contrition and repentance. So what is it like to return to Him and confess our sins? John tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David in the psalm declares, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Our small catechism notes, confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution, that is forgiveness, from the pastor as from God Himself, not doubting but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. Why is it that we can boldly begin each divine service by confessing our sins before our God in heaven? And why can we even feel free to come to private confession? Because that's precisely where absolution is. That is forgiveness of our sins, right there. The pastor doesn't forgive us of our sins on his own authority, but in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we heard John say that Jesus Christ is our advocate with the Father in heaven. As we go through this Lenten season, we walk with Jesus on his way to the cross, where He paid the price for our sins. God is a faithful God, as John says, but He's also a just God. Our sins cried out for justice. Our sins required a debt be paid. Jesus paid that debt on our behalf. All the judgment was laid on His shoulders. He suffered and died for our sake, and He was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, where He sits at the right hand of God as our advocate. John says, He is the propitiation for our sins. Now, some may despair and say, but my sins are too great. How can God ever forgive me? Look at the example of the sinful woman of the city. Her sins were so great that she couldn't even confess them all to Jesus, but could only weep so many tears because of them that she was able to wet Jesus' feet with her tears so much so that she could wipe His feet with her hair. She couldn't speak, but only kissed His feet over and over. The woman came with the opinion that forgiveness of sins should be sought in Christ. This worship is the highest worship of Christ. This worship is the highest worship we can have in Christ. She could think nothing greater about Christ. To seek forgiveness of sins from Him was truly an acknowledgement of the Messiah. To think of Christ this way to worship him this way, to embrace him this way, is to truly believe. Furthermore, Christ called it love. Christ points to the woman and praises her worship, her ointment, tears, and so forth. These were all signs of faith and a confession. With Christ, she sought forgiveness of sins. Now, others may take confession and absolution for granted, or treat it flippantly or indifferent. But look again at our example of the sinful woman. She knew that on her own she had no hope of forgiveness apart from the Lord. Now, in repentance, these two things should always exist: contrition and faith. Therefore, the woman came to Christ weeping. By these tears, the contrition is recognized. Afterward, she hears the absolution: your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Her sins were forgiven not because she had wept so many tears and anointed his feet with a costly ointment from an alabaster jar, but Jesus tells us, your faith has saved you. John tells us in our first reading, Jesus is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Remember, John says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just some unrighteousness or a little unrighteousness, all unrighteousness. Therefore, for us faithful Christians, confession and absolution is such a comfort. When we confess our sins and receive absolution from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven in heaven, we can sing with David in our psalm, blessed is the one whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. I acknowledged my sins to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sins. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.